And there's the fanfare. That means it's time to visit with Matt Olien, as we do each week. He's our in-house, so to speak, movie expert. Matt, it's great to see you back again on Main Street.
Thanks, Craig.
I know that you've had a busy time in your life here the last couple of weeks with the Fargo Film Festival, and we're going to have a little bit of a review from you about that here in a moment. But first, let's talk about this week's movies. Matt, you want to review Immaculate. It's a psychological horror movie that mixes horror and religion in a way that I don't know would be appealing to me. But what did you think of the show?
Yeah, if horror movies are not in your wheelhouse, this is not going to be a movie for you. If you're religious at all, this is not going to be a movie for you. So Sydney Sweeney is becoming a very, very big movie star, and she stars as this nun, Cecilia, journeys to Italy to join this convent, which is on the wonderful, beautiful Italian countryside. Everything seems great, right? She's going to have the convent life. The film is shot in Italy. It looks gorgeous, directed by Michael Mohan. But, of course, it's a horror movie, so you know things are not as they seem. And nefarious things are about and adrift with the nunnery and the priests and everything else, and that is essentially what it is. Now, you can tell by the title, Immaculate, where this is probably going. She is a modern-day Mary, modern-day Virgin Mary, and, you know, that's essentially the...
Matt, I just don't picture Sydney Sweeney in a religious movie, and of course...
No.
This is a psychological thriller. It just doesn't mix, but hey, she's a star.
So what they've done here is successfully, I think the film is fine. It is not going to make people forget about Rosemary's Baby or The Exorcist or The Omen or some of these great horror films like The Ring. For what it is, it's fine. There's a lot of gore. Sydney Sweeney's also the producer. She knows exactly what her assets are. So it's not just a religious movie with nuns walking about heavily garmented. There are scenes in bathtubs. There are scenes with see-through dresses where we see Miss Sweeney's assets and other nuns as well who have see-through garments. So it mixes religion and sex is what it does. And that is in order to get people in the theater. We see exactly what they're doing. And for that, it is absolutely fine. I think the film is a little too short. It's 89 minutes long. This film barely starts, and all of a sudden, she becomes the modern Mary. And what happens? Why is this going on? What's going on? How did this happen? One of the priests, played by Alvaro Morte, is impossibly good-looking. One of these priests that looks like he stepped out of a GQ cover, which normally they don't look like. But he comes off very nice at the beginning of the film. And you know where that's going, right, Craig? I think the film is too short. I would have let this film breathe a little bit more in the editing, because it is slam-bam action from the very start. I think it needed to be 7 or 8 minutes longer with a couple of more scenes. It almost feels rushed to me. Look, she's got a scene near the end of the film where she is screaming for, it feels like a minute, and it's an amazing piece of acting. Why she's screaming, you're going to have to go see the movie. So I think if you like horror movies, it's fine. But it's not going to set the world on fire. There's nothing here that's going to make it some kind of masterpiece or classic. But Sydney Sweeney knows what she's doing. She knows exactly her stardom. She's a producer on the film, and she packaged this for horror films. It made $5.3 million opening weekend. I think that's slightly disappointing, but not bad.
How did she do in the horror realm? Is she trying to expand her diversity here and what she maybe want to do down the road?
I think so. I think she's setting the groundwork for a big part down the road that could be, you know, Oscar bait type thing. She's talented. There's no question about it. She's got amazing eyes. She's easy to look at. I think she fits in fine with what she's trying to do with the film. But keep in mind, it's a horror movie with a wink, wink nod to the audience. So, of course, we're going to see her in a see-through gown. Of course, there's going to be blood and gore. That's what modern horror fans want, and they know exactly what buttons to push to make it a hit at the box office. It's not going to be a runaway hit at the box office. We'll see how the second weekend it does, but I liked it fine, didn't love it, didn't hate it. It's kind of right there in the middle for me. And let me just say, horror films are not my wheelhouse. They're not my cup of tea. There's some great ones in the history, but the continuing cycle of churning these things out, like Conjuring, Evil Dead, it just does not quite work for me. So I'm giving it a fair review that I think it's fine for what it is, but it's not a great film. And the people I know that saw it, nobody said it's a runaway great film. It's fine. It's average, slightly above average. And Sweeney if not for Sydney Sweeney in this film, I'm not sure there'd be much reason to go see it.
Matt, a question that I've come across without giving away any spoilers. Can you discuss how the movie's conclusion contributes to the overall message or theme that they're trying to get across?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I do know some inside information that the ending of this film was discussed amongst, I did meet the producer of the film, or co-producer, Will Greenfield, and because he was at the Fargo Film Festival last week with Immaculate. So I think the ending was, they weren't quite sure how to end this movie. Here's the big thing I'll say without giving too much away. There's a lot of Rosemary's Baby territory here. You know, what is Mia Farrow carrying in her belly in that movie? What is Sydney Sweeney, the modern Mary? Ooh. What's going on? Will we see anything? Will we not see anything? If you remember Rosemary's Baby, we did see something at the end. Now, the ending of this film, we're not giving it away. You need to go see it. I would say it contributes to the theme of the film in terms of it is consistent with what are we watching here? What is going on? You know, what nefarious activities are going on within this church? We're not sure. And I'm not sure, and maybe the audience isn't sure.
Let's turn the page, Matt. As we said at the top, you spend a lot of time and put a lot of effort in with many of your friends with the Fargo Film Festival. It just recently concluded. How did it go?
Great. We had great audiences. I feel like the quality of the films in all seven of the categories was the strongest we've had since pre-COVID. You may recall, or you probably don't because you weren't living here then, the 2020 and 2021 film festivals were canceled due to COVID. So we've been in person the last 3 years. And I think just like with normal mainstream movies, the quality is better now than it was during what I call the COVID years. So we've got films that have been shot post-COVID without people having to wear masks on the set, and you have access to what you want to do. So the quality was very high. I think my highlights were, I was the narrative feature chair this year, and we had 8 films make it in, and 3 films had people representing their films. And I got to do the Q&A with all 3 of those movies. Vivian Kerr, the actress from Scrap, was amazing. David Zumbrunnen, the actor from The Problem of the Hero, did a Q&A with him. He was amazing. And then 2 actresses from Daughter of the Sun, the film shot up in Canada, were here as well, Nia Perkin and Courtney Sawyer. So those were all probably highlights for me, just getting to do the Q&A and hearing the audience response to those movies as they ask questions of these performers and directors and actors as well.
Matt, how was interest in this year's Fargo Film Festival?
It seemed high. I mean, I think people want to come. They want to see films that they don't normally see at the Cineplex. We had 2 Oscar-nominated shorts. Nine Eye and Waipo, and a letter to a pig that both were in the film festival. So next year's the 25th anniversary. I hope we have some big announcements to make with some big guests, but we will see.
We'll look forward to that, Matt. Matt, you have some more century-like news for us.
Yeah, we're coming up on a lot of centenaries for a lot of big movie people. We had Lee Marvin a couple months ago, and coming up Wednesday, April 3rd, Marlon Brando would have been 100 years old. He was born in Omaha. I've been to his house. I went to his house last summer and stood in front of it where he grew up. And he's my all-time favorite actor. Something hit me when I first saw him as a kid or, you know, early teens. Everything he did was interesting on screen. He certainly had an eccentric later life, you know, became almost undirectable, I would say, difficult to work with. The weight became an issue for him. But he remains this kind of pivotal figure in the history of acting, where there's pre-Brando and post-Brando. What he did was, with Streetcar Named Desire, with the method acting, becoming the first method actor to become a film star, it's kind of everybody that followed Brando kind of owes something to him. So he's an important figure in my life, and he would have been 100 coming up Wednesday. He passed away when he was 80 in 2004.
Makes me feel old, Matt, to realize that he would have been 100 years old.
Yep.
Back to where we started with a trivia question for you, Matt. One horror film has won an Academy Award. I'm sure you know that it is
The Silence of the Lambs, 1991.
And we've been to the movies with Matt O'Lean. More Main Street is ahead. Stay with us.